This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Unabridged millennial Mason Payne here, live from the MVP studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Dating in the 21st century revolves around apps and being online, so it's kind of difficult to describe who you are in 140 characters. And on top of that, if you write a profile about yourself, did you say enough or too much? So joining me to explain how to properly navigate online dating is president of Smart Dating Academy, Bella Gandhi. Thanks for joining me, Bella.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Could you tell me, how did you get into the dating coach kind of stuff? Because your resume just looks like crazy. It started off like in finances, and then you went to a chemicals corporation. Like, how did you end up here?
So that's a great question. I started matchmaking people when I was in college. And so I had this uncanny gut. I had a college roommate, and I went to a party on my own without her, and I met a guy. And it was literally that moment, like you see in the movies, where you're like, I'm talking to this guy, and like the room's dimming around me, everything's getting hushed. And when I came to 30 seconds later, I blurted out to him, you're going to marry my roommate. I kid you not. Like, I wish I could invent the story, like truth is stranger than fiction. And flash forward 6 years later, they got engaged and they got married, and they now live in the suburbs of Chicago, and they have three kids. And this happened again and again. So as I went to business school and came out with this degree in finance and then joined my family's business, which made Teflon for cookware and bakeware, I continued to be the oracle for dating. I got myself married, got myself out of bad dating patterns. All of my friends around me continued to matchmake people on gut, such that when my family and I sold our business, I knew that this was my calling. So in 2009, I started Smart Dating Academy with a different purpose, though. Not to matchmake people, but to actually have people take a step back and say, who is a partner that's going to make me really happy? And then we help them to put together a fun plan that helps them to get there.
Oh, that sounds so cool. So you've actually seen the transition from like going clubbing to the bar scene to online dating. Like, did everything like change so fast for people looking for a partner?
Yeah, you know, believe it or not, like sites like Match.com are celebrating their 25-year anniversary. So online dating has been around basically since the birth of the internet. So people are, you know, has technology changed the way people date? Yes. You know, and like anything, there's big advantages to technology and dating, but there's also an underbelly, right? So I think it's made access to people easier that we would have never been able to meet, right? How did we meet people 20 years ago? Maybe you met them at work. Maybe you met them at a bar. You met them at a friend's wedding. You met them playing softball. But that was it. You were constrained to your own geography and to the places that you went. But here, all of a sudden, if you're traveling to Argentina, you could potentially set a date up for yourself in Argentina before you get there. So it's pretty magnificent what technology has allowed us to do on the love standpoint.
You know, one of the things that I remember growing up that I love to do is I used to look at the personal ads, and you know, they were short and sweet, looking for somebody, blah blah blah, you know, big beautiful woman, or looking for a, you know, a single white female, and it was so funny. But nowadays, when it comes to dating profiles, I guess they don't have to be that short anymore, but do they have to be long? Like, I'm confused as to how much information you should be putting into your own profile.
Okay, so that's a great question. I would say a couple of things. Number one, it's a little bit different if you're using a mainstream site like Match or eHarmony or JDate versus if you're using dating apps. So dating sites really don't usually constrain you on the number of words that you use in, like, the essay section. For example, on Match, it'll say, in my own words, and it just gives you, you just look at this blank canvas and say, oh my gosh, what can I write about myself? And I typically tell people, constrict yourself to 150 to 300 words maximum, not one sentence, right? And not 8 paragraphs. This is not your personal manifesto. So think about it from that standpoint. A couple of short paragraphs, maybe some fun facts about yourself in bullet form, and make sure that what you're writing is positive, playful, that it's not negative, that it doesn't become a laundry list for what you're not looking for.
What would be a good example of like something you should leave out?
Leave out like a statement like, do not contact me if you are looking for a one-night stand or a hookup. Do not contact me if you are unemployed. Do not contact me if your photos are more than 1 year old or you don't look like your photos.
Oh, yeah, those are kind of mean.
Yeah, right?
I used to do internet dating a long time ago, and I never had a problem with people like, oh, yeah, I love your picture. But my cousin and my friend, who are both guys, they have a problem with pictures. Women always are asking them, hey, I need more than, you know, the 3 pictures you have up here. Like, give me more. Is that something common for men, less than for women? Because I always just put up 1 and it worked just fine.
Yeah, in today's day and age, what I recommend, I did a survey with Match.com a couple of years ago, which showed that 5 to 6 photos are the optimal number. And what you want to do is in your opening shot, which would, you know, some sites call your primary photo, have a great headshot of yourself that's tight, a good crop of your head that's high res, well lit, that looks like you. It's no more than 1 year old, and you're looking right at the camera and smiling. And then behind that, you want to have photos of yourself that look good, where you've got, you know, half head to toe shots, half head shots. Like, people want to see what you actually look like.
What about paid versus free sites? I mean, is there like a pro and con to each?
You know, with sites, right, like Match or eHarmony, they're still fee-based in order to correspond with people. You know, we typically will recommend that our clients do paid sites because you can eliminate some of the riffraff by, you know, when people have to pay, it sort of tends to weed out married people or people that are just looking to hook up because they don't need to pay to do that.
Okay, so let's say you went on your paid site and you found a profile you really liked. How do you respond to someone? Like, you're the one jumping into it. Do you kind of say like, oh, I like your pictures?
Yeah, you know, I'm not a big fan of going forward with flattery, you know, or something that sounds like, hey, you know, you're cute, hit me up if you're interested. Actually read what this person said about themselves. Look at their photos. Do you connect with something? Is there something that you're interested in, something that you wanted to do that they did? Let's say you wanted to, you know, take a trip to Napa Valley, but you never have, and this person is in Napa in one of their photos, you know. Show the person that you actually took some time to think about them and their profile and who they are, and email them something based on that. Like, oh, I really like that you went to, you know, Domaine Chandon. I've always dreamt of going there. You know, what brought you there? ? And end your messages to somebody with a question. Gives people something to respond to.
Oh, that's smart. I like that. End it with a question. It forces them to interact.
Exactly. Exactly. And if somebody just keeps answering your questions like yes, no, then okay, they're probably not that interested. So that's what I would say is definitely, you know, it's like how you would end a conversation or how you would talk to somebody at a cocktail party. They would say, hey, how are you? You'd say, I'm fine. How are you? You know, I'm great. And then it's like a good tennis match. A good conversation is like a good tennis match. Somebody serves the ball, you hit it over the net, you keep hitting it over the net. And it's got to be question, answer, question, answer.
Okay, so my cousin, you know, he's had such a rough time when it comes to online dating. He would speak with some women, like, on the phone, and then after that, it'll just be, like, texts and emails. I mean, to me, I think they're wasting his time, but he's like, eh, you know, I just want to give it a little bit more. Maybe they're just shy on the phone.
Right. I would say after several exchanges on text or email, take it to the phone. And if somebody says, hey, I'm not a phone person, I don't do the phone, that's a red flag on that person. If that person isn't willing to respect your wishes to connect by phone before a date, think about what they're going to be like 3 years into marriage. No, thank you.
Yeah, you're right. It's like conversation should be a tennis match. And if they're just not interacting, you know, you can't just play by yourself.
Exactly. It's like, I'm not looking, you know, we used to talk about sexual relationships. Now we talk about textual relationships. Like, you're not looking for a pen pal.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's so true. Pen pals. That's an old word. How many sites should you be on? Because, you know, in the case of my cousin, he's about on, I think, 3 sites. And to me, I think that's too much because aren't the same people just floating around on all the same sites?
Well, that you might see some of that, right? So it's not always the same people. You know, our brains sometimes, if we see one person that we saw on Match, let's say on Tinder, we'll be like, oh my God, everybody's the same online. No, actually, it was only 1 out of 100. That's 1%, right? So our brains tend to anchor on what we know. So I would say that's your response to yourself. If you see one or two people on two sites, don't throw in the towel and be like, oh, this sucks. Like, everybody's the same. That's not true. It's only 2 out of 100 or 1,000 people. Then with that being said, only be on 1 to 2 dating sites or apps at the same time. 3 or more is going to give you dating ADHD.
Let's say you're on all these, you know, your two websites. When you're looking at the profiles, what are the red flags you should be looking at? Be like, besides like, oh, they're saying stuff that's negative. What other things should you look out for other people's profiles?
I would look out, you know, especially if you're talking about women that are looking for men. You know, a lot of times they tell us what they're looking for and we just don't want to listen to it, or we think we can change them. If someone says in their profile, I'm not looking for anything serious, and you are, then that's a red flag. You're not going to change that person.
That's true. You kind of just, what is it, the red-tinted lenses? Oh, rose-tinted. Yeah there you go.
Rose-colored glasses. You got it.
I've spoken with a lot of dating coaches, and I'm starting to wonder, should I even bother going to websites? Should I go to, like, dating events or use a matchmaker?
I would definitely say do online and real-life stuff. I think in today's day and age, you can be your own matchmaker. There's so much access to people, right? And when you know what you're looking for, one of the things we do at Smart Dating Academy is help people to create a roadmap before you get into all the madness of online dating. Who is a partner that's actually going to make you happy? Versus, you know, relying on evolution or Hollywood or old patterns that you have. It's like same dude, different face year over year. Get off the merry-go-round and stop the madness. So understand the qualities of a partner that's going to make you happy, and then understand red flags, and then actually start to find people that correspond with the qualities that make you happy. Let the chemistry grow slowly. You don't have to feel fireworks or butterflies on the first date. That's dangerous, actually. Let it slow burn and grow. I mean, not one of the thousands of love stories that we've helped to create over the last 8 years started out like, oh my God, this is it. This is the best first date I've ever had. I met my partner. It's like, no, you've met someone that you have good lust for, but that's about it. It doesn't mean this person is going to be good for you long term.
What are the common things you've noticed people have, like expectation-wise, when jumping into a relationship that you're like, oh, this is not going to work out for them? Like, they need to change their mindset.
Oh, girl, we could talk about this for 2 hours in and of itself. So I think the most common misconception that people have, even before that, is that dating should be easy and love should just fall into my lap. We have an Amazon Prime mentality when it comes to dating. If you get on a dating site, let's say we get you on Match.com, you know, typically, like, you get on Amazon, you can order whatever you want on God's green earth, and it's going to be delivered to your doorstep in your mailbox in 48 hours. And that's the mentality with which we date. Like, I'm going to check off all of these things and I want him to arrive in my inbox on Thursday. It's like, that's not the way this works. This is the most important thing you're ever going to do. It shouldn't take you 3 weeks or 3 months to find this person doing this the right way. And people think that when it's meant to be, it's going to happen. I shouldn't have to fall for it. It's not my time. And there's all of this stuff that societally we tell people, which is just patently false.
You know, I don't want to be mean to my cousin. He's going to hear this, but I love to tell him, I love to tell him, like, dude, your standards are so high. Like, he wants a woman who has 5 master's degree and 1 doctorate. And he's looking for, you know, a woman who's like a double D and a big butt. And I'm like, Mr. Man here, you don't even have a college degree. Why are you putting such high standards into looking for a woman? Why do people do that? I mean, he's not the only guy I know that does this, but to me, it's like, you know, what kind of la-la land are you living in?
Right, exactly. And that's what people do. And that's part of that Amazon Prime mentality. We don't think about who am I and what am I bringing to the table? Like, people expect, you know, not, I won't bag on your cousin, but just in general, like, we think because we see someone online that they should want to date us. I should be able to put you in my cart. But it's like, wait a second, would you expect to go into a bar, go up to that woman, talk to her, get her number, and that she'd go out with you tomorrow? We have these unrealistic expectations. We really have a shopping mentality when it comes to online dating.
You know, I have to give my cousin credit. He does go up to women and will be like, hey, you want my number? So he,
awesome.
I know, he's so funny. I love this guy, but his expectations, I think, are way too high. And to me, that's why he's had a dry spell. I don't think he's had a girlfriend in like 6 years. And I'm like, I want him to be happy. And I don't know. It's just, I find it so funny that a lot of people have that, I guess, that Amazon Prime kind of mentality. Like, I want it now. And they kind of don't want to work on themselves, too. With your company, do you help people like him?
Absolutely. All day, every day.
For, like, let's say my cousin, when it comes to you guys trying to, I guess, help him do a profile, what are the steps that you would take? Like, do you do a consultation?
Yeah, we do. I talk to each person in our practice, you know, that is a potential directly to decide, you know, okay, is this person a good fit? Because we don't take everybody that comes to us, because we want to make sure that we can really help people and that people are in a good, positive mindset where they are willing to make some changes in the way they're doing things, because you're not going to get good results if you don't start to change the way you're doing things, right? So then we do a quick 15 to 20 minute phone consultation, and then we offer people slots that we think would be a good fit. And then we actually meet people at the Four Seasons downtown. We do a really awesome in-depth onboarding process where you figure out that roadmap of who this person is that's going to make me happy. What are the red flags I'm going to see from reading someone's profile all the way to 6 months of being in an exclusive relationship with them? And so we're really teaching people how to identify partners that make them happy, because we're not taught how to do this as a culture.
Well, thank you so much, Bella, for joining me. I really appreciate you taking time out from your day to talk to me. For those that are interested in learning more about you, where can they go?
They can go to smartdatingacademy.com.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapayne.com. That's MasonVeraPaine.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.